With Radio On The Go News, I'm Brian Fancher reporting. Last night, the Hampton City Council voted to not open the city's aquatic center this summer for any uses due to the COVID-19 pandemic. However, the Hampton Council did approve to immediately open up the city-owned Ball Diamonds. The Hampton City Council was also informed that Hy-Vee is currently taking job applications for their new Dollar Fresh store in town and plan on conducting interviews the first week in June. As of midday today, the Iowa Department of Public Health was reporting 148 positive cases for COVID-19 in Wright County, with 27 in Cerro Gordo County and 19 in both Grundy and Floyd counties in the broadcast area. Hardin and Hancock counties each reported 16 positive tests to date, with Butler County at 15 and Franklin County with 12. Over 127,000 tests for COVID-19 in Iowa have come back as negative. At least 520 people have died from COVID-19 in Iowa. Brett Richards of Irwin is running for the Republican nomination in Tuesday's primary election for Iowa's 4th District Congressional seat, currently held by Steve King. Richards told Radio On The Go News why he is running.
I've just got tired of hearing all the rhetoric, the career politicians in Iowa. We see it every 4 years with the presidential candidates, but we see it all the time, too. The fact that they always promise us that they're going to fix our problems, and we've started to believe them, unfortunately. What we've got to do is not rely on government, and we need to get citizen legislators, people like the Founding Fathers intended, to go serve, come back home, and be regular citizens again. And it's just the right time. People want that type of change right now.
Richards is one of four Republican candidates trying to defeat King. Cerro Gordo County Recorder Colleen Pierce has announced that she will be retiring June 30th, 2020. Pierce has served as county recorder since 1990, but has worked in the office since 1975. Pierce from Rockwell says many changes have occurred in her years in the office, from entering the information by hand in large ledger books to helping in the creation and implementation of a computerized recording system in the office. In 2003, she was asked to be a charter board member to help create a statewide real estate recording system, and the program was launched in 2005, making Iowa the first state to incorporate such a system. Franklin County Auditor Michelle Giddings wants to remind residents that those who have absentee ballots concerning Tuesday's primary election need to have the voted ballots either dropped off at the courthouse or mailed. Absentee ballots will be accepted at the Franklin County Courthouse in Hampton through the end of the business day on Monday by leaving them in a drop box in the entryway. If mailing the absentee ballots, they must be postmarked by June 1st to be counted. Yesterday afternoon, the Hampton Police Department arrested 46-year-old Katrina Lynn Wenzel of Hampton for violation of a no-contact order. Katrina Wenzel was later released. Wednesday afternoon, the Franklin County Sheriff's Office transported from Hamilton County 45-year-old James Donald Wenzel of Hampton, who was wanted on a Franklin County warrant for violation of a no-contact order. James Wenzel was later released from custody. This morning, the Butler County Sheriff's Office transported from Blackhawk County 20-year-old Elizabeth Victoria Bordeaux of New Hartford, who was wanted on a warrant for two counts of possession of a controlled substance and for possession of drug paraphernalia. Bordeaux posted bond and was released. Last night, the Clarksville Police Department arrested 27-year-old Mitchell Kelderman of Clarksville on a warrant for a controlled substance charge, Kelderman being held at the Butler County Jail. A University of Iowa study finds tiny tree pollen particles can hang in the air for a long time after a rain shower, causing grief for allergy and asthma sufferers. U of I chemistry professor Betsy Stone is the study's author, who led a team into the rainy outdoors of Iowa City on 28 separate days early last year. Rain events range from light showers to thunderstorms and even severe weather that spun off a tornado and all brought down pollen.
We logged many different rain events in the spring of 2019, and we found that they stuck around 2.5 to 11 hours after the rain ended.
The research found the harder the rainfall, the longer the pollen fragments would remain suspended in the air. She notes there's a difference between pollen and pollen fragments, as the smaller granules can make their way deep into the lungs and worsen a person's allergic reactions.
Pollens are relatively large atmospheric particles. They're 20 to 100 micrometers in size. And with that size, they have a little bit more weight, and that causes them to settle out of the atmosphere due to gravity. Pollen fragments are about 100 times smaller than an intact pollen, but can actually stay in the atmosphere much longer.
A weather phenomenon that's sometimes seen during thunderstorms can send pollen far up into the sky.
An updraft will take particles from near the surface up into the upper atmosphere, where they're going to be exposed to higher humidity. Under those very humid conditions, a pollen grain can rupture, releasing hundreds of tiny particle fragments. And those fragments can actually come back down to the Earth's surface when it rains.
People who suffer from allergies or asthma should take note, she says, and do their best to stay indoors when the raindrops are falling and immediately afterwards.
The highest concentrations of pollen fragments, and thus the highest potential for human exposure, would be when it's raining, especially when it's raining very, very hard. So I think if people are able to avoid the very strong rainfall and the period of time right after the storm, usually an hour or two, the pollen fragment levels drop down considerably.
The study was funded by the U.S. National Science Foundation, was published online in the journal Environmental Science and Technology Letters. For Radio On the Go News, Brian Fancher reporting.